book of Philippians, chapter 4. It's a very well-known passage, a very well-known verse. But Philippians 4, verse 4, which says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice." Let's pray to start today. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for this church, for this Sunday morning, Lord, where we can come to your house. We have the liberty still to come worship your name and learn about you, Lord, and serve you. Thank you so much for the opportunity, and I pray that you help me say only that which you want me to say this morning. I ask you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As you saw in the video, almost 3 years ago, we went through a very hard time in our lives. I would say it's the hardest thing our church has gone through in Brazil. It's the hardest thing my family has gone through, I believe, and personally in my life is the hardest thing that I have ever gone through, the loss of my grandfather. I was very close to my grandfather. We were neighbors, so I would see him every day. He was not only my grandfather, he was also my pastor and a very dear friend to me. During my college years, I was blessed to be able to go to college and live at home still, which was wonderful. And every night, I would get home at 11:20. Every night, my granddad was in his living room waiting for me to come by and tell him about my night. And then he would pray with me, and I would always say goodnight to him. For 3 years, I didn't skip a single night. We were very close. And then during the pandemic, he got sick, and we all got sick, really. We live in the back of the church. There are four apartments there where the pastors live and their families, and we all got sick together, 15 of us, and it was a mess. It was a huge pharmacy back there. We had all sorts of medications, and everybody was sick, but granddad got worse and worse. He ended up in the hospital and all that, but during that time, it was funny how we still had the joy of the Lord in our lives. You know, we felt sadness, but we had the joy of the Lord. We would get together every day and pray for hours, and we would just sit around the table praying. And sometimes we would just start talking and laughing, and sometimes we would almost feel guilty. How can we laugh in a time like this, you know? But it's because of the joy of the Lord. And we see this passage here when we read about it and think about the Apostle Paul. We heard a little bit with the kids this morning about the Apostle Paul and how he was in prison and at midnight singing after having been beaten and whipped, and they were imprisoned for doing what's right. They were singing and rejoicing there because they had the joy of the Lord in their lives. When he wrote this book, and we read in Philippians over 14 times the word joy or rejoice here, we see how important this is for the Apostle Paul. But when we read this, we could imagine him in a good situation in his life or in some comfortable home surrounded by family and friends. But that is quite the contrary. He was imprisoned again. And I believe, you know, I wouldn't like to be in prison nowadays, but can you imagine how bad it was during the Apostle Paul's time and what conditions he was in? Yet he writes these beautiful words, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." What an encouragement it is for us today that we are able to rejoice in the Lord. So many things that the Apostle Paul went through. He was rejected. His message was rejected over and over again. He was beaten and he was stoned and he was imprisoned. He was deserted and abandoned by who he thought were close friends. There were competition of other preachers who were simply preaching to get him in trouble. There was a lack of money. There were plots to kill him. There were influences from cultures, religions, ideologies, other practices surrounding him. He was persecuted. He was oppressed. He was shipwrecked. He was bitten by a snake, which for me was probably the worst thing that happened to him. I hate snakes. Yet he writes these words, "Rejoice in the Lord always." What an encouragement it is to us, because Paul knew where his joy came from. He had the correct perspective in life. Many times the world and many Christians, they try to find their joy and the things in the world. But that will only lead to maybe temporary happiness and pleasure at the time, but that will only lead to sadness. We see how Moses, he chose to suffer with his people It says in Hebrews 11:25, he choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He knew what brought true joy. He knew that the pleasures of sin, and he could have had all sorts of pleasures in Egypt, but he chose to do what was right because he had the right perspective in life. We Christians, if we choose to serve the Lord, we are warned here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, we are warned, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. This is a warning here for us, and it opens our eyes to the reality of serving the Lord. It's wonderful to serve the Lord. Being a missionary kid, having grown up in Brazil, that was the best life I could have ever asked for. And now I'm excited to go back and be a missionary myself and then have my own missionary kids one day. And I look forward to, for them to have the life that I lived in Brazil too. It's just exciting to serve the Lord. But it does say here that we will suffer persecution if we are serving the Lord. Now with that warning, we must be careful to always have the right perspective and know where our joy comes from and know how to be joyful in the Christian life. Serving in the ministry, my family was always very joyful. Even time of cleanup and when we had to clean after church or stay up late or wake up earlier than others, we did it joyfully for the Lord. And I just want to share a few practical things this morning on how we can make sure that in whatever situation we are in this world, in this life, that we can make sure that we are joyful in the Lord. And the very first thing that I want to share with you today is that we must be saved. I don't know any of your hearts here. I don't know any of you. But I do know that if you are not saved, you will not have the joy of the Lord. You may pretend in church. You may come with a happy face and all that. But you won't have that fulfillment and that joy that only the Lord can give you. So if you are not saved, and I won't spend much time on this, but I do want to make sure that you don't leave today from this church without talking to someone about your soul and seeing how you can be saved and accepting Christ as your personal Savior. And that is the one and true way how you can experience the true joy of the Christian life. But also, in order to have true joy, we must abide in Christ. I'm going to read a few verses in John from John, verse Chapter 15, you can turn to John 15, I'm going to read, start from verse 1, which talks about abiding in the vine. John 15, verse 1 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done to you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. So in order for us to be joyful in the Christian life, we must be sure that we are abiding in Christ, abiding in the vine. We must have a true, personal, and continuous relationship with the vine, with the Lord Jesus Christ. We must spend time with him in prayer. We must read our Bibles. Many times I fear that, and I'm completely including myself in this, we read our Bibles just to check it off of our to-do list of that for that day. We want to get the Bible reading for the year done, and It becomes a habit for us. We don't really spend time with Jesus, spend time abiding in the vine. I receive every Sunday morning, I receive a report of how much time I spent on my phone. And I don't really like that. Sometimes it really scares me how much time I spent on my phone abiding in things of the world, really. And nothing bad per se, but you see how much time we could be and should be spending in our Bibles and in prayer, and how much time we're wasting in other things. Now, my goal is to always keep it down. Today I got one report and it said you were down 25% from last week. And I praise the Lord for that. And we should always strive to get it down even further. But let's spend time abiding with the vine, abiding with Christ. And that is how we have true joy. It says here, these things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. I want my joy to be full in the Christian life. And I want to spend more time with Jesus Christ. Also, in order for us to have joy, we must believe. Romans 15:13 says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. The Bible is full of promises for us today, precious promises. I was doing a personal study on the many promises in the Bible that we find there, and I could spend hours and hours just writing them down, and it seems like there's no end to it. He promises us so much in His Word, and it's so amazing to be able to go to His Word and know that what He says is true. But these words are just words if we don't believe in Him. So we must believe in order to have true joy. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I like that this hope here is not the hope of crossing your fingers and hoping that everything will end up right. It's the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Trust that He said that what He said is real. Believe that when He says that He will never leave or forsake us, He means it. Believe that He will always provide for us. Believe that He will always love us. Believe that He will never do anything to harm us or to hurt us. We must believe in these things in order to have true joy. I know that even the world, they know these Bible verses. They know these promises. They quote Psalm 23. They have it open in their homes and their Bibles open. But it means nothing to them because they don't really believe. But when we believe, it changes our whole perspective and our whole joy, really, that we have in Jesus Christ. Also, in order to have joy, we must meditate in His Word. And this comes together with abiding in the vine, but we must spend time meditating in His Word. And through that, we will fall more and more in love with God's Word. I love to read Psalm 119 and see the psalmist's deep love and appreciation for the Bible. And sometimes I feel convicted, really, that I don't love it as much as I should here. I read some verses like in Psalm 119, in verse 16, the psalmist says, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Verse 111, thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. Verse 162, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. When was the last time that we treated the Word of God as finding great spoil, as a treasure for us and our lives? I feel like we all fail at that many times. But when we spend time in God's Word and really meditate and live it, we will have true joy. My dad was preaching a sermon on Psalm 119 some time ago, and he quoted Matthew Henry's father, who challenged his two sons to read one verse of Psalm 119 every day. And what he said to his sons is, in that, reading one verse of Psalm 119 every day, saith he, will bring you to be in love with all the rest of Scriptures. He often said that all grace grows as love to the Word of God grows. Let's make sure that our love for the Word of God is growing and that we are spending time in meditation in God's Word. Psalm 1 says, but His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. One thing, we talk about many things and many different subjects, but one thing that I like about traveling with my uncle is that we're always talking about the Bible and Bible verses and things that we read and things that we believe, things that we want to do better in our lives. We are always talking about the Bible, and it's so good. It does so good to me here. It helps me to meditate in His Word day and night. It's such a blessing to spend time in God's Word. So we've seen that we must, first of all, be saved. It's the most important thing. But we must abide, we must believe in His Word, we must meditate in His Word. But also, in order to be joyful, we must always repent of our sins. Sin will always get in the joy, in the way of our joy, really. As we've seen already, there is no joy that comes from sin. Only temporary happiness, temporary pleasures. And it, like we saw in the Bible, it lasts for a season, but the end of that is always sadness, it always leads to death. As we saw already, in Psalm 51, we see about King David and his great sin with Bathsheba, and we know the story of how he fell into sin with her. He had her husband killed in the battlefield, and so much wrong that was done there. And I believe that King David was living a period of his life in sadness, with guilt. I believe that he was living maybe a life of, he was paranoid and going to be found out. And I don't think he was close to the Lord at all during that time until the prophet comes to him and tells him the story of the lamb that was stolen. And then when King David realizes that he was the one who stole the lamb from the other shepherd, he becomes heartbroken, and that's where Psalm 51 comes in, a psalm of repentance of King David. And the verse says here, "Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." That sin in his life was getting rid of all the joy that he had, all the relationship that he had with the Lord, with our God, was being removed from his life because of that sin. And when he repented, he was able to have joy. That joy was restored. He says here that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. And I've heard several things about this, and even little ear bones in your ear and all that sort of stuff. But this reminded me of when I broke a bone when I was 11 years old. And it was probably the worst, one of the worst pains I've ever experienced. And here I feel like he is comparing the pain of hurt of a broken bone to the pain of being separated from the Lord. Let's never let sin separate us from the Lord Jesus Christ and remove that joy that we have. Also, we must be grateful in order to be joyful. I'm going to speed along this last one here, but gratitude is such an important thing in the world today, and it's lacking so much. And we were warned in the Bible that that was going to happen, you know, it's a sign of the end of times and all that, but it's still not pleasant to see the lack of gratitude that there is in the world. I have a journal at home that I like to, every night, just write one thing that I'm thankful for before bed, and it's amazing to see how I never struggle to write something in that journal. There's always something to thank the Lord for, and I tell people that if you're having trouble, if you're struggling thanking the Lord for something, you may want to reevaluate your life and see if you are really a born-again Christian, because just that in and of itself is enough for us to thank the Lord for all eternity, that He saved us from eternal hell and separation from the Lord. Thank Him for being a good God. You know, He is God, and that He could be good or bad. He could choose whatever He wanted, and it would be okay because He is God, but He chose to be good, and we should be grateful for that. Thank Him for loving you. Thank Him for giving you health. And I know many of us are not in perfect health, but He's given you enough health to be here today. And that is something we should be thankful for. Thank Him for His provision. There's so much that we take for granted every day. We were talking about that yesterday during lunch, how much we have, how much we're blessed with, and we just take it for granted, and we forget to thank the Lord for all that He's done for us. I like to read a lot, and I found some quotes about gratitude from worldly authors, and I like them. I wrote them down here. One of them is, "He is riches who is content with the least." These are worldly men speaking, not in a biblical manner. He is well paid that is well satisfied. He who wants little always has enough. The contented man is never poor, and the discontented man never rich. It's amazing how much gratitude and contentment will change our lives and will give us true joy. And finally, in order for us to be happy, we must be sure that we are doing God's will for our lives. As a missionary, there are sacrifices to be made. And I know I'm going back to Brazil, and I am 100% confident that that is what the Lord wants for me. But sometimes people have said that, you know, it's like going back home, going back to your parents. And it will be home for me, which I am glad for. But there are sacrifices that have to be made. Even coming to America, I sold everything I had in Brazil. I sold my car. I sold my video games. That's when my family knew that I was serious about it. I just sold everything, and I hopped in a plane, and I flew to the States. I didn't have any home here. I didn't have a car. I didn't have family where I was coming to. And I knew God would take care of it. But all these sacrifices, and they're so small, really. They're small, but none of that stuff that if I had kept in Brazil, none of that would make me joyful, because I know what God's will for my life is. And I know that if I stayed in Brazil during this period of deputation, I know that I would not be joyful, because I would not be doing God's will for my life. Romans 12:2 talks about God's will, and it says, Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If someone came to me and said that they have a gift for me, a gift that is not only good, not only acceptable, but perfect, I would say that I want that gift. And many people, they are afraid of God's will, and they flee from it, and they think, what if God's will sends me to Africa? If that is God's will for your life, you better do it, because that is the only thing that will bring you true joy. Being in the center of God's will for your life is extremely important. So we saw that the first thing we must do is to be saved. That is the very most important thing. But in order to have true joy in the Christian life, we must abide in the vine. We must believe in His word and meditate in God's word day and night. We must always repent of our sins. We must always show gratitude in the Lord, and we must ensure that we are in the center of God's will for each of our lives. And that is how we have true joy, regardless of circumstances in this world, as we saw the Apostle Paul, and as he wrote,